Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. But all of our lessons and instructions, my precious brothers and sisters, will be taken from the old King James version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am again excited, bubbling over with joy, because tonight we will continue our study from the book of Luke. And we all know that this study will synopsize the life of Jesus Christ according to Luke the physician. It will also present his allegory of the Son of God and give to us an account-by-account description of the events concerning Jesus' beginnings to his end of life as we know it. And also we will look at the characteristics of Christianity as presented in this book written by Luke. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder that about every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you'd like. Now, before we get started, I want to, as I always do, personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using, my precious brothers and sisters, so thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." That's in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 16. Now, the promise is that if you believe and are baptized, then you shall be saved. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." This is taken from Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. And this is telling us the promise is that if you have the faith and you do not doubt, then what you do, you will accomplish. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great." This is taken from Luke chapter 9, verse 48. So this is telling us the promise. If you are not a respecter of persons, if you receive those who are presented to you then you will also have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost to draw from to get you through all of this which you are experiencing this side of eternity. So the question for this hour is, my brothers and sisters, are you standing on the promises of God? Now let's get to the study. We're going to go to Luke chapter 17, verse 5 through 10. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 17, verse 5 through 10. And we are in instruction 58 of 84 that I've written for this series. So this is what I want you to draw from or be paying attention to while we read the text. This is how you increase your faith. My precious brothers and sisters, you want to increase your faith? This is how you increase your faith. This is what the text says. Luke chapter 17, verse 5 through 10, it says, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat?" What this is telling us is that we have certain things that we should do that is a prerequisite of faith. And if we don't do those things, then we can't expect what faith is going to give us. Verse 8 says, "And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and girt thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doeth he think that servant, because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trot not." What Jesus is saying, that there are certain things we should do. Obey the commandments of God. If we're not obeying the commandments of God, we can't expect to have the faith that will remove that mountain. Verse 10 says, "So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded of you," that means if you have obeyed the commandments, then say this, "We to the Father, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Help us increase our faith." So that is what Jesus gave as a parable to his apostles when they asked him to increase their faith. Now what we're going to do is go to our complement, as we always do, our Old Testament complement, and we want to connect this dot and see how the law in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, addressed this. Turn your Bible sources to Genesis, chapter 15, and we're going to be reading verse 5 and 6. Genesis, chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. And this is what the text says. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so thy seed shall be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness." That is how we increase our righteousness. You see, Abraham asked or believed what God said, and that's like what we were just taught on asking God to help us increase our faith. We must believe what God tells us to do. We do that, and that's how our faith is increased. Now what we want to do, I want to tell you what this instruction should mean spiritually in our lives, that we must perform an action that is faith-worthy, meaning if God said it, then we must do it in order to achieve it. If God says, "Pete, love me with all your heart," I must do that in order to achieve the reward that is given to me for the faithfulness of loving God with all his heart. Okay, let's go now to instruction number 59, and we're going to go back to the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 20 through 21. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. And this is what we want to pay attention to as we read the text. "The kingdom of God is within you." My brothers and sisters, did you hear that? The kingdom of God is where? It is within you. And this is what the text says. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observations, not with physical observations, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, my brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is within you. That is what Jesus said. That is where we need to look, to the inside for the kingdom first, and then to the outside. Now let's go to our compliment. We're going to go to Psalms, and we're going to go to Psalms 45, 145, verse 13, and we'll continue after the break.
I give you four guidelines on open doors, closed doors. Number one, since God is sovereign, he is in full control on both sides of any door. Second, being in full control, God takes full responsibility for the results. Number three, the closing of a good opportunity occurs in order to lead us to an even better one. And number four, not until you walk through the open door and look back do you realize the necessity of the other doors being closed. Even though we don't understand why, we'll go. I have no idea what closed doors you are living with. For all I know, you are going through self-loathing and blame. Or even worse, you may be blaming someone else because the door closed. Because I don't know which one to speak to directly, I speak to all of you and say, let it be. Let the oak fall. Let the acorns scatter. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footstep on the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright design and works his sovereign will. Let it be. Let it be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the instruction that we're looking at is the kingdom of God is within you. And remember, I prefaced that that's where we should look for the kingdom first. Because, of course, we know wherever God is, his kingdom is. And God is omnipresent, and God is ubiquitous. That means that God is everywhere. Now, this is how the psalmist shared this with Israel back in Old Testament times. We're going to look at the compliment, Psalms 145, verse 13. And this is what the psalmist says. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. So what the psalmist is saying, that the kingdom of God is, just like I mentioned, everywhere. Now, to add even more impetus to that, turn your Bible sources to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to see that God created this, and he is everywhere his creation is. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that tells us that he is over all and in all. And as we study in the letters of Paul to the churches, that is what he says about God, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that God is all in all. All right, now this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of paradise, however you want to look at it, is wherever God is. But more especially, it is within you. That's where we want to go, my precious brothers and sisters, to look for the kingdom of God first, and then we will be able to recognize it where all other places that it exists, which is everywhere. Let's go now to instruction number 60. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 17. We're going to be reading verse 22 through 27, or through 37. We're going to start with the 22nd verse, because this here is going to be a parable that's going to give us a good understanding of what the instruction is telling us. As we read Luke chapter 17, verse 22 through 37, we want to keep this in mind. Remember the return of Jesus Christ. That is very significant to us today. Remember the return of Jesus Christ. And this is what Luke chapter 17, verse 22 through 37 says. And he said unto his disciples, meaning Jesus, the days will come when ye shall desire to see me in the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see me. And they said to and they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you. That's where you want to go to first. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the part of the earth under heaven shineth unto the other parts under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And we know that even to this day there are many rejections for Jesus Christ. Verse 26 says, and as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Remember in the days of Noah? In this interpretation with Luke, it says Noe. Verse 27 says, they did eat, they drank, and they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. What's going to happen? We already reviewed the book of Revelations, and we know that when the heaven, when we see Jesus return on the clouds, that we will grieve, and even those who pierced him will, because that will be like Noah going into the ark. Verse 28 says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, and they bought, and they sold. They planted, and they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed all of them. Again, when we see today Christ returning on the cloud, that will be the end. Verse 30 says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, meaning when he returns on that cloud, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. When the rapture occurs, as they like to say in theology, when that first resurrection comes, when we see Jesus, it's over. And that's what this is telling us. Now what we want to do is go to our complement and see what the Old Testament has to agree and open up even further, or at least connect the dot to what this return of Christ means. We want to go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. We're going to go to chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verse 2 and verse 3. And this is what Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3 says about, remember the return of Jesus? This is what it says. And it shall come to pass in the last days, we're in those last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. That when we see Jesus coming back on that cloud, that is when this is established. This is what this prophecy is telling us. Verse 3 says, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, what this should mean to us, my precious brothers and sisters, spiritually in our lives, that we must constantly stay prepared for our individual day and time that the Lord returns for us. Be ready now. We are not promised tomorrow. We are not promised an hour from now. We are not promised even right now. The point is that when Jesus comes back at the end on the cloud, it will be over for the whole world. But he may come back in a minute just for us. So we must constantly stay prepared for our individual day and time that the Lord returns for us. So be ready. That is the instruction that I want you to understand about this returning of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back. Let's go to instruction number 61. We're going to go to Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we're reading the text. Again, it's going to be Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. The instruction is, we must always pray and not faint. That is critical. That is conversation with God. We must always pray and not faint. And the text, Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8, is going to give us the details of the parable that Jesus gave concerning that. But we're going to go to that after the break. We will come back and then we will read Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8.
We're entering into a season right now. It ain't time for us to point out everybody else's fault. It's time for us to look in the mirror and say, am I usable? Am I flexible? Am I pliable? Am I moldable? Can God take my life, put me on the potter's wheel, and spin me until he makes me everything that I need to be for this next season in my life? Some of you have been spinning and you're wondering, what in the world? Why am I spinning? Why am I going in circles? But I'll tell you why you're going in circles. It's because God is making you another vessel. It's a new season and he's putting touches on your life that you didn't need in the last season, but you're going to need it in this season. So he just scoops you up, drops you on the wheel, starts bending you, making you uncomfortable, breaking you. You're trying to figure out. You're like, God, I did everything right, I thought. He said, no, it's not that you've done anything wrong. I'm just getting you ready for the next season. You asked me to use you, didn't you? Hallelujah. So God, we have to check ourselves, because once we are refined and once we are ready, God will begin to use us. Lamentations 3 and 40 says, let us examine our ways. Let us test them and let us return back to the Lord. Let us examine our ways. Let us test them. And if we're out of whack, let's return back to the Lord. Because it's only as we return back to the Lord that God, and we allow him to form us into what we need to be. Somebody saying, what's next for my life? What's next for your life is that you have to examine yourself and say, God, am I usable? God is looking for people who are holy. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men, to be holy, for without holiness, no one will see God. Holiness really means, it means that we live a consecrated life, that we aim to live a pure life. Make every effort, Hebrews 12 says. Make every effort to be consecrated. Make every effort to be pure. Make every effort to be sanctified in your heart and in your life. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, the primary characteristic that lets us know that he is there is that you ought to want to be holy, that you ought to want to be different. When the Holy Spirit comes in, something in you says, I don't want to be who I was. I don't want to think like I used to think. I don't want to go where I used to go. I don't want to hang with everybody I used to hang with. When the Holy Spirit is in there, the evidence that he is in there is that you want to be different. It's that you want to be like God.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Amen, my precious brothers and sisters. Let me take a moment and give you this reminder. The Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's what we're doing right now. So let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. And this is a parable that Jesus is telling his disciples and apostles about what we must always pray and not faint. And this is what it says. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Always have a conversation for God, ready for God. Verse 2 says, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And the judge, he said, he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by any continuing coming she worry me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect when they cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, that is an item of faith that we must continue to cultivate, and that is the belief that we should have conversation with God. We should pray and not faint. And you can see through the parable, it says, that if you continue to bug God about what it is you need, he's going to, if not relent and give you that, he's going to let you know why you can't have it. That's the key, my precious brothers and sisters. It's not like he's going to give you a Cadillac and a mansion down here on earth, but he's going to let you know, if you continue to ask for it, how to respond. Now, we're going to go to Psalms, the Old Testament, and we're going to look at the compliment and see what it says about this, connecting the dot. We're going to go to Psalms 32, verse 5 and 6. Psalms 32, verse 5 and 6. And this is what Psalms 32, verse 5 and 6 says. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins. Selah. And Selah means to take a moment and pause and think about it and consider it. You talk to the Lord. It's called repentance today. And he will forgive your sins. For this, verse 6 says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto you. If you are willing to exercise the conversation, the prayer with God, he will not leave you nor forsake you. You will understand why things are happening to you, and you can respond to them accordingly. Now, I'm going to share with you the intent. This is what the instruction should mean to you spiritually in your life. That conversation with God, meaning praying, is the faith action that proves our righteousness to God. We want to be righteous to God. We want to have that faith that Abraham proved to God by believing God. We got to have conversation with God. Now let's go to instruction number 62, and we're going to go back to Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14, and we're going to read another parable. And this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. Look to God's righteousness, not to your own. Remember, that's what got Job in trouble. If you read the book of Job, he was too self-righteous for God. That's what caused him to go through, part of what caused him to go through what he did. It's more constant or significant than that, but when we get to the book of Job, we'll go there and discuss it. But this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. Look to God's righteousness, not your own. And this is what Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14 says. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, or as extortioners, or unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God is merciful. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That is what Jesus is trying to share with us, that it's God's righteousness. We are supposed to be meek and humble and lowly of spirit, and that is how we prove our righteousness to God. Now what we're going to do is go to the Old Testament, and we're going to go to Psalms, verse 33, and see how this compares and agrees. Psalms, verse 33, and we're going to be reading Psalms chapter 33, and we're going to read verse 4 and verse 5. Psalms chapter 33, verse 4 and verse 5. And this is what David said to the Israelites. For the word of the Lord is right, meaning righteous, and his works are done in truth. That's righteousness. Verse 5 says, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. So it's his righteousness and his judgment that we want to look towards. So not our own, but of his. Now, this is what I want you to understand spiritually about this instruction, how we work this in our lives. That God's words in basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible, are absolute, and you can depend on them for your salvation. You want to look to God's righteousness? You have 66 books you can draw from Genesis through Revelations, and you will find out that the righteousness of God compared to your own righteousness and which way you should follow. Okay, let's go to instruction number 63. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. Luke chapter 18, verse 15 through 17, and what we're going to do is we're going to focus on this instruction. Before the break enters, I'm going to give you the instruction. The instruction is, only children shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Only children, the children of God, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as we read the text, Luke chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. And we will start on that after the break.
Testifiers, let us pray. Loving God, I pray that you will comfort me in my suffering. Lend skill to the hands of my healers, and bless the means used for my cure. Give me such confidence in the power of your grace that even when I'm afraid, I put my whole trust in you. Be near me in my time of weakness and pain. Sustain me by your grace, that my strength and courage may not fail. Heal me according to your will, and help me always to believe that what happens to me here is of little account if you hold me in eternal life. Lord, look upon me with eyes of mercy. May your healing hand rest upon me. May your life-giving powers flow into every cell of my body and into the depths of my soul. Lord, I ask that you cleanse me, purify me, restore me to wholeness and strength for your service in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Today, walk in faith and trust God's timing. God bless you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers, amen to that. Remember, we're on instruction number 63. The instruction is only God, the children of God, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Luke chapter 18, verse 15 through 17, and this is what Jesus said about it. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is of the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. So we're talking about the children of God. We're not talking about God's creation. Those that have come to God have relinquished the right. Remember, Jesus said that if you follow me, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross to follow me. So shall ye be my disciples. So those are the ones that we're talking about. Now what we're going to do is go to the Old Testament. We're going to see what the complement has to say about this, pointing to only children shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Psalms 82, verse 6. Psalms 82, verse 6. And this is what the psalmist says. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. That is the tie-in. We are the children of the Most High God. And this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That we must be as innocent of worldliness as we can be, because as a child is innocent and protected for it from the world, so likewise God will protect and forgive the innocent toward him and give us heaven as our reward. So that's the key. We must be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. That is going to be taught. That's another gospel, where Jesus gave that information. So we want to remember that we enter the kingdom of God as children of his. Now let's go to instruction number 64, and we're going to turn our Bibles back to Luke chapter 18, verse 18 through 30. Luke chapter 18, verse 18 through 30. And this is what we want to pay attention to as the text is being read. Things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And this is what Jesus said about it in Luke chapter 18, verse 18 through 30. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All of these I have kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And Jesus went on to say, and Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful and said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You see what worldliness can do for you now. We're reading that what is impossible with man is possible with God. That does not say that you cannot have wealth and riches. But what that does say, that God is the one that should be giving you this. Meaning Jesus said, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. If you seek the rest before you seek the kingdom and his righteousness, then this is your end result. For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who can be saved then? And Jesus said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parent or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, that's life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. Now, I'm not going to read the rest, because the point is that God, everything is possible with God. But with man, nothing is possible. Now, what we want to do is go to the Old Testament and see where we can connect this dot and see how it references that. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. And this is what it says simply in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's the key, my precious brothers and sisters, to the possible and the impossible. If you do not believe, you cannot achieve. This is what Isaiah is pointing to in his parable. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, what we want to do is go, I want to tell you what this should mean spiritually to you in your life. This is what it should mean, that if God said it, you must believe it, because it is impossible to please God without faith or believing in him. That is as simple as that. Now, Abraham, it was assigned to him as righteousness because he believed what God said. So whatever God says, that is where your faith should be. And that's the instruction that I'm trying to point out to you this evening in that particular instruction number 64. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 46. And we're going to go back to the book of Luke. We're going to go again to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 35 through 43. Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through 43. And this is the instruction, another example of faith. Now, there are so many examples of faith in basic instructions before leaving earth. And we should learn all of them if you would, because this will help you in the time of stress, more especially when things are confronting you in this walk of life, this side of eternity. Another example of faith, that's what I want you to pay attention to when we read Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through 43. And this is what it says. And it came to pass that as he came nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And they went before, rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto the Lord. So that is another example of faith. You have to be persistent. And now before the break comes, I'm going to give you the Psalm, the Old Testament Psalms 27, verse 13, is where we're going to connect that dot. Okay? And we'll get to it after the break.
Because of what happened in a moment, somebody got in the way. That's a moment. You've been stuck for 38 years. Because of what somebody did in a moment, you let a moment leave you stuck for 38 years. You let what somebody did when you was 12 leave you stuck for 38 years. You mean the 38 years of your life has been restricted because of some other human being who got in the fight line of what you were trying to do in the kingdom? And don't you understand that you punish them with your palsy? How do you think your being stuck is punishing who got in your way? It's not like they've been by the pool for 38 years. You've been by the pool for 38 years because of them. He went on with his life. She went on with their life. They went on and got married again. They went on and started another ministry. They're singing in the choir. And you have been stuck for 38 years. Stuck. In the stumbling place. I'm fixing to. I'm better than I was. I'm working on me. Leave me alone. I'm not there yet. They're the reason I'm hurting like this. I don't trust anybody. I don't love anybody. I don't open up to anybody. I'm stuck for 38 years. Leave me alone. I'm here because somebody got in my way when I was trying to get out of this situation. And you've been locked up for 38 years? Who is worth it that you would give them 38 years? That's what I want to know. Who is worth 38 years of your life? I don't care what they did. I don't care who they did it with. Who is worth you being stuck, staring, and stumbling for 38 years? Years? You could have changed the world. You could have built a house. You could have started a career. You could have opened a business. You could have had a life. You could have recorded an album. You could have written a book. You could have done anything. But you've been stuck, staring, and stumbling.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 65. We're looking at another example of faith. We already identified it in Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through 43, where Jesus talked about the man that had the faith to keep on pursuing him until he got his request answered. And this is what King David said to the Israelites in Psalms 37. That's where I want you to be going to, or You should be at Psalms 37. We're going to read verse 13 and 14. And this is what the psalmist said. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that is another application of faith, that we should believe that we will see the goodness of the Lord here, this side of eternity. But we have to wait on it, and that wait will be rewarded with the strengthening of our heart. Now, this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must walk by faith in God, meaning belief, and not by sight of the world, except as God gives us insight to physical dangers. Now, that's critical because we're talking about a spiritual belief application physically. And, of course, God is not going to lead us into danger. So the faith is to believe in him, just as Abraham was told to kill his son or sacrifice his son, and God did not allow that to occur. That's the faith we're talking about that we should be walking in, not by sight, but by faith. So this here is what I want you to understand in this particular instruction. Okay, from time to time, in accordance with the statement of the program that I'm giving this evening, I'd like to expose to you the format, give you some highlights on the program's description and format. The first one is the stressing of the spiritual aspect of the Bible rather than the physical, because Jesus the Christ said it best, it is the spiritual that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And that's one reason why I always give the answer to the instruction in a spiritual format, because that's what we should be applying first. Remember, it's the spiritual that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The second is drills and exercises associated with standing on the promises of God in Jesus Christ. At the beginning of each show, I give you three examples of the promise of Jesus Christ. Number three, using the Old Testament and the New Testament to compare with and to substantiate each other with the other. I believe that if you cannot draw them together, the Old Testament with the New Testament, or if you're teaching from the New Testament to the Old Testament, that there is less emphasis on what the instruction is giving. If you can connect both together, you know that one draws from the other, and that's important to me. Number four, the use of Scripture to validate opinions. And that's what I do constantly, is use Scriptures always to try to validate, more especially the instructions that I'm giving. Number five, our mission statement is that this is for everybody. Absolutely. Not just for those who have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, but for all of us who are, for everyone that is listening to the program, whether they are believers or non-believers. There is something in basic instructions before leaving earth for all of God's creation, because you have to realize that God has created all mankind. Not all mankind are his children, but all mankind are his creation. So this is for all of us to receive. God breathed life into every one of us. So that is a part of godliness. So some of what we are learning to emphasize, we all have a little portion of that to begin with. And what Jesus told us, hereby is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and gifts and blessings. That is the way that we glorify God. So that is the format that I'm following. Now, this completes the lesson that we have prepared for this evening. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to always thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. And so I'll do a quick review of what we went over tonight as we are signing off. We looked at the instruction number 58, that told how to increase our faith. Our faith has to be increased, and we must go to God and ask him to increase our faith. And because of our constant pursuit of that, he will increase our faith. But of course, you have to obey his commandments. Instruction number 59 said, the kingdom of God is within you. That is where we must first focus on godliness from inside of us. We know that God is everywhere, and his kingdom is wherever he is, but more especially within us. For God says in the book of Revelations that his tabernacle is with man inside. Instruction number 60 says, remember the return of Christ. That is critical. We should be in preparation, always prepared for the return of the Lord. And that doesn't mean the end of time, but that does mean the end of our particular life. Instruction 61, we must always pray and not faint. If we use that as a conversation with God, we know that we do that with one another. And that is something that keeps us encouraged and alert and out of harm's way when we talk and ask others for advice and we have conversation. The same with God. If we always pray, we will not faint because he is within us and he will never leave us nor forsake us and he will respond to our needs. Instruction number 62 says, look to God's righteousness, not to our own. Self-righteousness is what got Satan in trouble in the beginning. It was pride. And we know what pride breeds. And pride, the psalmist says, is a curse. That God rebukes those because they do not follow his commandments. We are not to be prideful. 63, that instructions, only the children of God shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That is something that we should focus on. And we know that the next instruction tells us things that are impossible with men are not impossible with God. We must understand that God will save whom he will save. God says that I will be merciful unto whom I will be merciful, and I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious. So he is the one that establishes the rules. He is the one that had Pharaoh not let the people go until the 10th plague. He is the one that had Sennacherib take the children of Israel that were in the northern tribes and dispersed them into Australia. He was the one that had, even today, we could say, those Hitler, that what he demonstrated when he took over and slaughtered all of those Jews. God is the one that's in control of everything, but that doesn't mean he is not able to save everyone. And we want to hope that God will do as Paul taught Timothy, that it is his will that all mankind be saved. Instruction number 65 says, gave us another example of faith. And the one that it gave us is that we must be persistent. That's the key. You can't achieve unless you believe. And you have to be persistent. And that's what gives us the difference. Now we will end.
Joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
And as I say goodnight to all of our listeners out there, remember what Jesus said. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.